This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at a business seminar held on October 23, 2025 in Owen, Wisconsin.
We're grateful that we can be here this morning. You know, when I'm in a setting as this, I don't know about you, but I like to be involved in things that are good. And I think this is something that is good. I'd like to start out. We read in the scriptures where the question was presented, who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? With me. Can we say it together? We are. A little shallow. We are. There we go. Maintaining culture amid shifting vocation. First, I would like to also state, appreciated Brother James' presentation, thoughts. Very much. The Anabaptist people sailed the waters and come to the shores of America, found the soils in the United States of America, dug in that plow, and found that it's fertile. The soils in America are fertile. What was the Anabaptists' goals of coming to America? The Anabaptist people experience persecution for their faith. In America, can we say, what is your persecution this morning? When you named Christ as your personal Savior, were you challenged? Were you questioned on your faith? The Anabaptist people come to the soils of America and have a desire that they can serve this great God in peace, in humbleness, in simplicity. If the Anabaptists would see this room today that sailed the waters and come to the soils of America, did they ever think that they need to hold a meeting as this? What is man, or what are the Anabaptist people doing with their wealth? I praise God this morning that we can hold meetings like this. Give direction to men that are holding business. God is working in the lives of individuals, in people. And with that, by default, could we say we have wealth? Many opportunities. We heard of our opportunities in the session earlier. Praise God. Now we're here. Communities such as here in Wisconsin. I'm old enough to know and remember when some of the Weaverland Conference people started moving west further, looking forward, cheaper farms, looking for places. When I drive here in Wisconsin and I see that black soil, wealth, wealth. God, when He created the earth, He placed Adam in the garden. And what did He say that Adam should do? To dress it and to keep it. With that, the farming communities saw the value, and maybe I should back up a little bit, some of the reasoning or the logic that was in to search for these places for fertile soil and such, just like the Anabaptists in our previous years, our forefathers, when they come to this, the United States of America, was so they can have family life and serve God, to dress it and to keep it. They saw, again, the need that as they have this of stewardship. You'll hear a lot of that. That's part of Anabaptist Financial. This morning when you got out of bed, did you thank the Lord for all that He has blessed you with? Particularly more today as we look at the thought of finances, of wealth. We are an Anabaptist people that have created our own economy. Have we not? We produce things. They come into this area, or they come into various communities that have been established and rolled up their sleeves to care of livestock, reached out into retail businesses, you name it. I don't know what all the representation is here in businesses this morning. And these, I just spoke with a man here at break, and his business, he says, is just growing. What do I do? It's growing. Praise God. Praise God. So when I think of this, to take this culture where we think maybe many of them, but the background was farming, and we can't all farm. Farms are diminishing. We know that. Now, my first question that I have down when I think of maintaining a culture amid shifting vocations. And I want you to understand, I personally do not feel that it was wrong to branch out into another vocation. But my question then is, how important is family to you? Take a moment and stop and think. Where has it taken you as you branched out into another vocation and God blessed you with growth? And as I stated, with growth brought in more income. And we could say, it really wasn't even intentional. It happened. We are in a people that likewise strive for integrity. We heard that also in the first topic, is what truth can do. We look into the scriptures and we find Jesus gives us many teachings. And I'm going to term them this morning as we touch, I won't be able to touch near all of them, but as we talk about some of them, is the absolutes. The absolutes. We can also, as I begin, and that is, as man dressed and kept the garden, Jesus sent Moses up Mount Sinai and gave the Ten Commandments. And there he has, thou shalt not covet. So, wishing for more growth and more wealth. And many times, I guess I think of the things that I know of, some of family businesses have grown because on the farm there was a need. And I'm thinking more right in now as I think of someone, actually for our family, is a need, what was for a feed mixer. As the dairy farmer learned that we need a total mixed ration. And this farmer went into his shop with a torch and a welder and a hammer and created a TMR, created a mixer, made one, and built his feed room. Milk production increased. Neighbor man walks into his dairy barn and sees this mixer, this TMR. Would you make me one? Sure, I'll make you one. Didn't go long. 2 years, I think it was, the cows were gone. The farm is sold, and a shop is built, and as of today, they still make TMR mixers. Wealth. Getting back to the question, how important is family to you? Well, I like to put it this way. As God allows you, as were it a farmer or a business owner, and there's growth, is I think we need to do it just exactly how Abraham did. I think, and again, Scripture doesn't really tell us this, but would you with me this morning think Abraham with himself started drawing some perimeters. He made perimeters that I'm not going out. We can clearly read that Abraham had wealth in cattle and in silver and in gold. I don't read nowhere in my Bible where that was wrong. But I also read, though, that Abraham lived in tents. I'm not advocating that you sell your real estate or you tear down your house and you start living in a tent. That's not my thought. But I think Abraham, with his perimeters, kept him and said that family is important to me. And I don't want my business or my livestock or my wealth to have me. Another one was Boaz. We can read that in Ruth. And Boaz, I see him as, I like to term him this way. He was a godly man of wealth. He had wealth, but his wealth did not have him. So as the culture in family life, and we draw the perimeters, I'd like to be an advocate this morning that if in your business and it involves your family, for myself, I think is, well, just to give you a little bit of description, the retail mulch business we sold in 2023. But the retail mulch business, until at the time I come to 2023, was something I never dreamed that it would be. But the summer of 2023, I walked into my house and to my wife and told her that I am done. I am finished. It was something that was growing. And I said, if I live till the last day of September, I'm turning 60 years old, and really, how do I have to act? Because I'll be honest with you, my ministry, my family, and lots of other, my grandchildren, such things, I was neglected. We were so busy. Growth. People coming to me and wanting a simple thing to beautify their home. I'm not saying this is wrong. It's saying, when can you get this product out to me? And begging to get it done soon. I have to tell them, sir, If I promise to you that I can get it out with to you in 2 days, I am promising in you as I speak that I know that I cannot do that. So we drew a perimeter and said, we have to get out. But you know, other things come into place, and I need to, again, go back to my perimeter as we find something else to do. I'm still a farmer, I still feed cattle, and we still have hogs. But where's my family? Do I have time to do something like this? I told you a bit ago, I like to be involved with things that are good. It would have been very easy for me to say no. But I praise God this morning as I look over the audience and I see some young men here, young wives, that we have, as an Anabaptist people, something in place and biblical direction giving how to work with our wealth. You know, as I stated, I think back to the early Anabaptist people and striving just to serve God. Where is your, may I term it, ambition to serve God? We are a people. Again, in whatever business you're in, as the absolutes that Jesus gives in the scripture, and one of them is truth. I hope with your business and as you find yourself in the culture that you likewise, if it's a family business, then I would almost suspect a lot of them is in this community. You come in this community, I don't know if you come here as a farmer, but if you established a business and there's growth, you want to get your children involved, that's why I'm glad the next generation is here. Take these things on. How do we handle money? Do we need to go out and buy another boat? Do we need to go out and order a new truck? Did I say that's wrong? I didn't say that's wrong. But where are your perimeters? What's the message that it gives to your neighbor man when he sees likewise your growth? Where's the humbleness and the simplicity? Again, I'm not saying it's wrong to buy a new truck. I bought a new truck myself. That's maybe a wise business venture. But in its humbleness, to keep the culture is as we make or draw up the perimeters and set aside time. What has happened to your morning devotion? May I venture to guess that the people I'm speaking to this morning are really no different than myself? As our business grew, what do you think one of the things that was eliminated in the morning with my family? Morning devotion. We can do that tonight. Guess what? The evening come around, bedtime came, and I still didn't have devotions with my family. Can anybody relate to that? I see heads nodding. So sometimes, you know, as I was working on this topic and maintaining culture amid shifting devotions, why do we even need that topic? I'm speaking to people here that you already know. I know. Don't we already know? We really do. We know what truth is. We know that God, when he said to dress it and to keep it, were that the earth, were that your business, that we keep it in such a way that it is honest, and we make certain that image, too many times, is elevated over integrity. If you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember that. Because, again, I think I'm speaking to people that are, again, no different to me. And we come to the place where we're image is very important. And we use our wealth to make the image. But where's our integrity? A dairy farmer gets up early in the morning, milks his cows, makes sure the barn is in shape before he goes into the house, and then it's breakfast time. School children are getting ready for school, and the family is together. Perfect time for devotions. Now that you began a business, what else has happened? 7 o'clock, we want to be out in the shop or whatever. It's still happening. Where are your perimeters to maintain this culture? I'm 62 years old. And I stand here before a group of people. I remember a friend of mine telling me how his father was lamenting and was telling his children, particularly his sons, he said, I thought it was really hard to pay for this farm. And he said, I'm finding out it's a whole lot harder to get rid of. We're living in a time of an economy that I find myself at the same place. I'm from Lancaster County. When people come to my farm, just as a joke, I tell them, before you leave here, you wipe off the bottom of your shoe. All the dirt stays here because the dirt is valuable. It's got to stay here. Wipe off your shoes. I might ask you to do that if you come see me. And I welcome you to come see me. So now, with this, I'm just sharing personal things here. I wasn't really intending to do this. Is how do I move this off to the next generation? And I tell my children, this is my concern. If I sell you the farm, even at a family price, I am fearful that family is going to be neglected. School's going to be neglected, and so will church. How are they going to do it? Maybe I can get answers later today. But the culture, and that's what I'm concerned about, is the culture that we can raise the next generation that they likewise understand that God, when he planted the garden, put man there to dress it and to keep it, that man has a relationship with God. God wants to be included in your business. God wants to be included in our farming. And as we change vocations, that God is glorified. That is my prayer, should I say. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, you know this passage, but I like to read it. I there, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. In love. Wealth, I guess when I was again thinking about this on Abraham, I draw pictures in my mind, and I don't know how Abraham looked. And I don't know how his cattle look. But when I see Abraham, and as he processed the thought to get a wife for his son Isaac that God had promised, and he gets his eldest servant and the camels, what went with that servant? Didn't some silver go along? I don't know. Some gold went along? Do you think Abraham did that to show his image No, I don't think so. But we see Abraham sending the eldest servant and giving Rebekah the gifts and her parents and siblings. It was reaching out. But we also can see that as Abraham, by God's order, coming out, took Lot with him. You know the story. But did you ever stop and ponder, as God blessed them, they likewise grew, their wealth grew, and they dispersed from each other. And Lot saw the plains and how they were well watered and moved into Sodom. Draw yourself some pictures in your own mind. And he moved in. And the angels, those men, had to take his hand and lead him out. They were told not to look back, but Lot's wife did. Did you ever ponder the question, what happened? What happened? There again, I don't know. But we can draw many things up that, again, the integrity to serve God. We see that then transmitted into Isaac, into Jacob, and on down the line. Joseph, many. So the scriptures, when I think of integrity, and to maintain this culture in our lives, in our homes, and you know your home, you know your business, so sit down and draw some integrities. Where do you want this to go in 5, 10, 15 years? What's it going to look like? We don't want to be like Lot and his wife. This takes some prayer with God. Meditation. So I draw up the perimeters that my life and the culture that I am establishing serves our Creator. God wants to know about your business. And too many times, and I stand here to tell you, when business decisions are made, maybe, did I get God into the equation? Did I put God and ask for directions? As our business advances and you endeavor to maintain the culture of a family life, in your children, in your employees, I didn't have many employees, but I did have a family. We're shaping and molding the lives of these individuals. What do they see in you as a business owner or as a father? Is your drive, is your push to make that next dollar? Someone walks into your place of business, where it manufacturing or whatever, and has an order for you, and you see an opportunity where you can make some good money. But it's going to take some resources, manpower, that's going to take you away, or maybe other employees, away from their family. Is it worth it? I'm not here to tell you whether it's not. But I'm here to tell you that I think, as an Anabaptist people that come into this, come to the United States of America to serve God in humbleness and simplicity, as Paul wrote, as a prisoner of the Lord, he stated. We have, you know, again, going back to the absolutes, Jesus gives the parable, and the brother James touched it on the in his topic too, is of that rich man. One rich man asked the question to Jesus, how do I enter into the kingdom of heaven? And he told him, sell what thou hast and come and follow me. Did Jesus really mean that he needs to sell everything? Well, I guess as I looked at that scripture again, you know, I went back to the very beginning in Genesis. You know of two men early on after this earth was created, Cain and Abel, right? Didn't they both come with a sacrifice? Abel's was accepted. Cain's sacrifice and offering was rejected. Did you ever really stop and ponder that? Why Cain? We could come into a lot of conclusions what might have happened there, but I don't know if that really matters. But God told Cain one thing, though. What was that? If thou doest well, thou wilt be accepted. That application we can take into many things today. If thou doest well, thou wilt be accepted. Is your business, would the Lord accept your business? Do you run your business in that way? Is your family, the rising generation, is your church important to you? Is there something happening in your church that you think you should help? But, well, that brings me again. I wasn't really a businessman, maybe, but delegation, letting others. We know that maybe they can't do it as good as we ourselves think we can, and letting someone else. How many people read this book? A number of you. Can I make a suggestion? That if you didn't read this book, go to the bank and make a loan and get one. Gary Miller makes it really soul-searching. As we work with this wealth that God has given us, a stewardship and places a responsibility on you and me that we as people can be the feet, the hands, and the voice of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to be, a light unto the world. Let your light so shine. James talked about opportunities. He's in more business and contact and people than I am. Lazarus. The question on this book is, where is Lazarus? How many Lazarus do we fail to see because we're absorbed in our wealth? I'm challenged myself. Abraham, and with his wealth, I guess, maybe I should just think of it this way. As Anabaptist people, having the word, having homes, having schools, and having churches, that are working to steer people to truly serve God. We also can read in the scriptures right now in this moment, I don't know where it's found, but they were asked to come to follow Jesus, and one says, let me first and go bury my father. And the other one was at the buy land, let me first. But what I want to bring out there is the me first. Too many times we have the me first. then. The sacrifices, how are you sacrificing? If I'm sacrificing something, that means I'm giving something up. I'm letting something loose. Were it time, were it some of my financial resources, a sacrifice. Matthew 6 talks about giving alms. You know, this is maybe some another subject, but we see we have a need of helping people with emotional struggles. There's facility built, put into place. I don't know if there's some in Wisconsin. I think there is. But we ourselves are involved in some of those, and we have an extreme struggle to find house parents to stay there and to help. And I ask myself, why? Why? I want you to think about those things with your wealth. Is your growth of your business hindering? It's easy. I guess maybe I should go. It's easy to write out a check, right? And say, okay, I did my good deed. What about a need for the house parent? What about the need maybe even just to sit on the board and to help? Are these people, did God put those people there that they need emotional help? Maybe they are these Lazarus. Who's to say how this Lazarus looked? I don't know. But we are a people, like I told you earlier, we have created our own economy. We go out there and we work and we make a product and we know how to make it right and we do it right. We are a people that strive to have an integrity to say what we mean. On time, a product, service. We like to give. I found out in my mulch business, if a woman called and she wanted her mulch tomorrow and I got it out the next day, I was the greatest fella. And I say still, I think they talked about us at church on Sunday. Service. I also remember my wife that's here this morning. She answered a lot of the calls for the orders for the mulch business. And she had a customer at the other end that was demanding, I don't know what the time frame was, of having his mulch delivered now. But our practice was, as the orders came in, that's how we worked on get them out. Known, and I used to tell her, I said, remember that a man, the first thing he's going to do to get what he wants is to work with your emotions. And she nicely told him, no, this is our policy. This is how we do. And he on and on kept on to working on her until it was all said and done when he had his order in and accepted when we can get it out and told her, that's how it should be. That's how it should be. He knew. Work. And we found that our experience many times. If we did something wrong and you made measures immediately to take care of it, it's a message. So as your culture, I should say, as your vocation changes, praise God that you have an opportunity to reach out to others in this world. I'd like to close with this thought. We read in the Bible, in the Old Testament, how Moses, God came to Moses and spoke to Moses in an audible voice. Moses heard God speak. Did you ever wish in your decisions of your wealth and how to relate, how to handle, that God would speak to you in an audible voice? God does speak, I like to put it this way. I'm not saying that God won't speak to you in an audible voice, but God has given us through Jesus Christ the Holy Spirit. So when you start a new day, kneel beside your bedside and pray to God that He would grant you His Holy Spirit today to guide me and to lead me and to teach me, show me. So Moses, when he heard God speak to him there in an audible voice there in the desert with that burning bush, and God asked Moses, "What is that in thine hand?" It was his rod. It turned into the serpent. You know the story. I won't spend a lot of time. We also know that God was asking him there to go back to Egypt to Pharaoh and ask that they can go 3 days journey into the desert to worship God. He used that rod to change water into blood. Aaron likewise used the rod. The plagues of flies, of hail, and fire. You know the plagues. Children of Israel come out of Egypt and they come to the Red Sea. The mighty waters were parted. God told Moses, stretch out the rod. Did the rod change the water to blood? Did the rod part the waters? The rod didn't. But God needed the rod to fulfill His work. May I suggest this morning as I close that as I look over my audience, I see a lot of rods. Nothing fancy. That rod would have broke for Moses. I'm sure he could have went into the bush and carved out another one. Nothing fancy. Just a rod. But God needed that rod. Can you look at yourself as a rod in God's hand, and He wants to do His will and His work through you? And praise God this morning that you have this opportunity. We have lots of wealth, not only wealth as we pursue in this life, and as James also, eternal life. Eternal life. So may God bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord strengthen you as you go and finding yourselves as you labor to keep the culture and ultimately to serve God, the rising generation. And as the psalmist says, as arrows in the hands of a mighty man. That's the next verse. God bless.